Hello everyone and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host Annie Vischer, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the reception, the honeymoon and beyond. No wedding related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a newlywed who just can't let it go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode and get stuck in. My guest today is Georgie LaRue, founder of Gigi & Olive, the very well-known online bridal boutique that plays home to a curated edit of some of the most stylish wedding accessories on the market. Think morning of the wedding robes, achingly chic hem party accessories and honeymoon must-haves. Georgie got married last year. I stalked her wedding to death, so it's only right that I drag her onto Words on a Wedding to talk it all through with me. Georgie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure. I'm excited to talk about everything.
I am so excited to go through it all with you because those pictures are absolutely insane and I want all the details. I'm sure everybody else does too. So first of all, and I always think I sound like Cilla Black when I say this, but who did you marry and how did you meet?
So my husband is called Hugo. He is a menswear buyer at My Teresa. And we met in France. We met skiing in 2016. It was actually my last day skiing and his first day. And we just met in an après ski bar at the bottom of the slopes. It was a complete chance encounter. And we met there and started dating straight afterwards.
The rest is history. That's a beautiful meeting. It's not your average sort of Bumble setting, is it?
I know, it's actually so funny. We were saying that we were like, before the wedding, when we were talking about wedding speeches, we were like, it's actually really nice. We could say that we met skiing.
So romantic, the images that conjures up. And now talk me through the proposal.
Yeah, so we were in France, we're in the south of France, we're in Provence in August 2021. And it was actually the first morning that we woke up in this really lovely hotel. It was sort of like 7 a.m. and you know when you wake up quite early on holiday, but you're just sort of like, right, I'm going back to sleep. He was like, no, we're not going back to sleep. I was thinking, why? And then he just asked me in bed, just got the ring out. It was honestly, it was like 7 a.m. I was like, wait, hang on a second, I need to wash my face. But it was so nice. It was like, I really loved how private it was and like really intimate, and it felt so special. And we just, yeah, and then we had such a fun day. We just, you know, we're calling like my family on FaceTime, and then we went down to the pool, and my sister was like, let them all know you just got engaged and you can get some free champagne. But you know what France is like, they'd probably seen like 1,000 proposals at the hotel before. They were honestly like, no, not interested, go to the pool.
Yeah, it's so funny. I had Lorna Lux on earlier and she got proposed to in Paris. And she was like, if this had happened in Manchester, people would be freaking out. There'd be drinks everywhere.
Honestly.
Nobody reacted.
No, nobody reacted. It was so funny. We got quite drunk by the pool, like calling people. And then this other couple came up to us and they were actually really sweet. They were American and they were like, guys, like, we're just loving your vibe. Like, congratulations. We were like, more of this. But my parents then and my family were coming out to France for 2 weeks and we were going to meet them a couple of days later. So it was so nice. We like had a couple of days just us, and then we went to go meet my family and my sister. And then we had like this really amazing 2 week holiday. So it was the perfect way to do it, really.
That's gorgeous. A sort of a week of private bliss and then just go and go all out celebration. That sounds amazing. And did you have, I mean, you're obviously in the industry. So by then, did you have a bit of a vision for your wedding?
Yes and no. I think France is a place that is really special to us. And like, my brother had got married in the south of France a couple of years before. I had always sort of thought maybe that's what I would do, if it obviously suited the person I was marrying. But I think with COVID, like, we got engaged 2021. So we were just, it's funny, I know it was only like 18 months ago, but it was really that time where, you know, you had to have your vaccine to go traveling. Things were still being checked. And having spoken to loads and loads of brides during that 2020, 2021, it was a lot of really real disappointment from people who were getting married abroad at that moment, with deposits, with the uncertainty, with not knowing like how the restrictions were changing so quickly. And when we were in France after a week, you know, my mum was like, just go and see some venues while you're here. Like, oh my God, okay. So we went to like a couple that were close to us, which was like really fun and exciting. that, you know, they sent over the contracts in French like a week later and they didn't have any sort of cancellation policy. And I just thought, this is a massive risk.
Yeah.
So we decided not to do that. But I think then that kind of fed into what we decided to do in the UK, because it was really important for us to find like a venue where we almost felt like we were abroad, where guests could stay over. We really wanted like our friends to utilize that accommodation. And so we really had in our mind like this kind of English countryside wedding, but in like the height of summer and everyone just having a really great time for the whole weekend. And that's when we went and saw Wilderness Reserve, which is where we ended up getting married.
Yeah, you're echoing everything. I think we got engaged at very similar times and you're echoing everything that happened with us. We'd always thought of France, but like you said, tail end of COVID. And it's also the fact that I would have been on edge for a whole year waiting for something to crop up again and ruin plans if it was abroad, and it would have taken the whole kind of fun out of that planning aspect, I think.
I totally agree. I really felt so sympathetic for all those couples going through that, because I think there's enough that's on your plate already organizing stuff, and it wasn't just, you know, the UK's restrictions that you had to watch, it was obviously the destination of wherever you were going. And I think also at that point, it was like you had to do all these COVID tests. It was really expensive. So I think to kind of even think about going and doing site visits and all of that. And also, I think when I started really talking to other suppliers, if you wanted your UK suppliers to come with you to France or abroad or wherever you wanted, you then also were having to pay for all those people's COVID tests.
Yeah.
And their sort of thing. So I mean, so much has changed now. And obviously, we're seeing like a rise again with destination weddings. It's so nice to see that. Like, I just absolutely love the vibe of a destination wedding. But I think for us, it was a kind of risk versus reward at that stage when we decided. So, and I'm so happy that we got married in the UK. I think there's so many benefits to getting married in the country where you live, you know, being able to get in a car and go and see it, to go and like talk to all your suppliers, for any supplier to go and see the venue. You really, if you're someone who wants to organize it, then it's really nice to be in the same country, I think.
I totally agree. And like you said, you really managed to channel something so unique into your wedding from the pictures that I've seen anyway, like the furniture out on the lawn. Well, that stays with me. I was like, oh, I love that. What came first? Did you hit on the venue first? And was all the planning quite a collaborative process, or did you kind of head it up?
So I think the first thing was that we really wanted to do it in the summer. For both Hugo and I, the end of summer is much better work-wise. Like, we're both really, really slammed May, June, July. It's buying season for him. It's obviously height of wedding season for my business. So we were kind of leaning towards August. And we also really wanted to go straight on a honeymoon afterwards. And that, again, would be quite a good time for us to take off work after. And when we saw Wilderness, I just sort of thought, oh, they're not going to have any availability. And they had one date left in the whole of like 2022 summer. And it was a weekend in August. And then I called Benjamin Wheeler, who is my photographer, who had photographed my sister's wedding and a couple of people I know. And I just said, please, please, please be free. Like, if you're free, then it's a goer for me. And he was like, I am actually free that one day. So it just kind of, I got really lucky and it just really aligned.
Oh, wow. I mean, grabbing Benjamin Wheeler for that weekend was just, those pictures are insane.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he also, I think the thing is that he really makes, like, obviously his work speaks for itself and he's so talented, but he also makes you feel so calm and relaxed, and it's not a really overwhelming experience. And I think especially for grooms and, like, you know, people who, or other people who maybe don't often like getting their photographs taken, I think that's so important, because you really, you want someone that really makes you feel at ease and relaxed straight away, and he just completely does that. He's amazing.
And we have to talk about your dress, obviously, every single detail. Talk me through why you decided to go with Emma Beaumont, everything.
Yes, so when I began sort of searching for my dress, I loved this experience. I completely understand why people find it really overwhelming, though, because you have in your head this like scene from Bridesmaids. Well, actually, hopefully not that scene.
Not where that scene.
It's a disaster, not that scene. But, you know, you have kind of this idea in your mind when you're, you know, I'm going to have my champagne, I'm going to feel amazing. And you can try on quite a lot. And I think, if you're rushing to appointment, or you don't feel your best, or, you know, you're going straight from work, sometimes it can feel like it doesn't quite meet your expectation.
Yeah, it's an anti-climax.
It can be, yeah. And when my sister got married a couple of years before, I remember she said to me, like, do it on like a Saturday, go and get a blow dry, make sure you're feeling your best. Like, we'll go and have a glass of champagne before, really like make that an experience. Because then I think it does feel really special. But I think if you're, and look, like if you go to five or six places, which I did by sort of the sixth, I was like, whatever. But I think you want to start that process by really enjoying it. And so I went to loads of different boutiques in London, and I kept trying stuff on that I quite liked. And, you know, I think I'm quite lucky because I'm very tall. I'm 6 foot. And so like a lot of these dresses, you know, or again, I remember my sister's really small. She's like 5'4". And when she tried it on, she was like, oh my God, everything's drowning me. Whereas I felt like, okay, actually height wise, things were working quite well, but I just didn't find that I was falling in love with anything. And I really had in my head this like romantic, timeless, classic kind of bride look. I really wanted like that lace detail. And then basically me and Emma Beaumont, who designed my dress, we both followed each other on Instagram, and I sent her a message and she was like, please come and see me. Like, I'd love to kind of chat through some ideas. And so we got on the train and went to Cheshire. And again, she just made me feel so relaxed. She was just like, you know, we can absolutely create what you're sort of thinking. And she sketched out something straight away. I mean, with just the ease that she did it, I mean, it was amazing. And, you know, it was a really long process in terms of, you know, it sort of took us about 7 months. And I think I was nervous because you don't, at that initial meeting, so I'm like, well, I can't see a physical dress.
Yeah.
But then like, if you look at all the dresses that she's designed, I think one of the things she does so beautifully is like everything's so different, but to such a high standard. And she just really got like the vision that I wanted. And it was just a really collaborative, lovely process. And I think it was only like I think it was like 2 sessions to the end. And then she said, by the way, like, do you want to be able to remove your long sleeves? I was like, yes, that is such a good idea, because I was wearing sort of like long, which I absolutely loved, but it was so then nice being able to take them off after the ceremony. It added a new look to my wedding wardrobe, but also I felt a lot less hot, and it was more kind of freeing being able to like move your arms as well.
Of course. And what were the biggest influences on the look of that dress? Because it was very, talk us through the look of it. I feel like we have to give like a sensorial kind of experience to our listeners.
When I asked her like how she would sort of describe it, she said that the dress took over 120 hours to complete from start to finish, and it was made over 6 fittings. They basically start by making like a toile, like, which is like you know, a kind of thing that fits your body, but it's made out of like a cotton fabric, just so that they get all your measurements.
It almost looks like a kind of period drama underwear scene, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like beautiful. Yeah. There's something beautiful in that look.
I agree. And then she brought out loads of different fabrics. And I think I was really keen to have that like whimsical, romantic look where you feel like you've got lots of layers of a dress. Really like your dress as well, like it looks light.
Yes,
I think that's really key.
It moves.
Like, you know, you want it moves as you move, so it's like it's not just like a puff, but you've got that kind of like drama of the skirt, but it's soft and it's light. And I think that's very on trend at the moment, but it also really gives that very timeless look. And then I definitely wanted something corseted. I was like, let's just cinch that waist in as tight as possible.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't need to breathe. Let's go. But like, I just absolutely love that like very female shape of the waist, and that suited my body. So, and then she basically hand stitched all this extra embroidery onto it, which gave it like another layer of depth of florals. And it was like a lace flower add-on, basically. God, it sounds really overcomplicated, but I think she did such an amazing job, and I honestly felt incredible in it. And I think that is the main thing that you want on this day. Like, you just want to feel like, you know, a movie star and the best version of yourself. And I think whatever dress you go for, if you can achieve that feeling, then it's lovely. It's really nice.
What are you going to do with it now?
I know. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I took it to the dry cleaner just before I went on our honeymoon, like the day before. And they sort of said, like, do you want it, is it like a speciality dry clean? Do you want it boxed or do you want it hanging? I said box because it will take up less kind of space. I absolutely did not ask for the price before I left, and then got hit with a massive bill when I came back, because I think they take so much kind of care with, like, wow, cleaning these things. But, you know, it's the right thing. It is the right thing to do. But yeah, I really don't know. What are you going to do with your dress?
I'm in the same dilemma. It's not even been dry cleaned yet, because it's hanging in my room at my parents' still. So it's like just seeing a nice friend every time I go back and just touching it. And it wasn't too, I was really lucky with the weather, so it didn't get a lot of dirt on it or anything like that. So I'm almost wondering whether I don't need to. But I was thinking the other day, I'm so jealous of the royals, because once you've worn your wedding dress, then it gets taken away and put in a museum for you to go and visit whenever you want. And that would be great. I would love
let's
that.
Start if my... a mu- let's start a mu- let's start a museum. And
shall we?
Everyone can go and pop their dresses there and we'll all go and see it, shall we?
Oh, Gigi and Olive extension.
I love that.
Yes, let's do that. That could happen. I'd go to a wedding dress exhibition.
Yeah, same.
I've gone way off piece now. Let my bread and butter, hair and makeup. How did you come to sort of your look on the day? Who did you enlist?
So I had this amazing woman called Aljra, and she does all of our hair and makeup on the Gigi and Olive shoot. She did my sister's wedding. She's done loads of my friends' weddings. Again, like, it's obviously a running theme that I have with various suppliers, making me feel very calm and relaxed. But she just really, it's really important. She has such a calming, lovely presence, and she's also an amazing makeup artist and hair stylist. So I really wanted my hair to be like very natural, like tousled kind of look. I basically, when I was doing quite a lot of Q&As on the Gigi and Olive Instagram for real brides, and like asking people who had just got married, like, and if they had any regrets or what their biggest bugbears were, and the most common thing that brides, past brides, were saying is that they wished with their hair and makeup that they just had been a bit more true to themselves. And I think it's in that way that, like, I think sometimes you or other people get in your head that, like, because this is such a big day, you need to like trial something completely new that you'd never do with your hair before, because it's this real special occasion. And actually, I think the best advice I got from other real brides was, you just want to look like the best version of you, but like, you kind of want to go for like the best hair that you'd wear in your normal style, and like the best makeup that made you still feel like and look like you. So I always wear my hair quite casually. It's always kind of got a natural wave to it. She just made the waves look incredible. But I still very much felt like this is how I would wear my hair. And I think that was really important for me. And then makeup, we just went for like, again, a really like glowy, natural, but like, yeah, best version. I mean, I was like, I could never do my makeup like this, but she was great. And as I said, like a really calming, nice presence to have in the morning.
Yeah. And did you do anything with your skincare or treatments or anything in the lead up to your wedding?
So I go to, because I know that you know Michael, who works at Aveda.
Yes, love him. Well, he brought in the Gigi and Olive bow to that shoot.
Yes,
I was doing.
I remember. That's so funny. He's amazing. My mum basically works for Aveda. She's worked for Aveda for over 20 years. So I've always been so lucky to use Aveda on my hair. And it's just my favorite hair products, and their botanical repair hair masks are what I did. Like, I still do them, to be honest, but I really was quite rigorous with them up to the wedding, like to make my hair feel really extra luscious. And I went and saw Michael. I did my color sort of 6 months, I think I did my color actually 3 months before, because I didn't want to look I'm blonde naturally, but I wanted like a little bit of a lift. And then in terms of my skincare, I did some hydrafacials about 6 months before. So I did once a month, and I went to a place in Wimbledon called Naked Health. They were amazing. You know, I'd never had a hydrafacial before. It's not kind of, you're not there to kind of relax and fall asleep. It's a process, but you feel incredible. And I think it kind of makes you feel quite glowing and youthful. So I liked doing that. And those were my two kind of things. And then I did get a spray tan 3 days before, because I am quite naturally fair, and I just wanted that like sun-kissed summer kind of look. So I did it on the Wednesday evening, And then I got married on the Saturday. So that by then, you know, I think that's a really nice time as well, because obviously you don't want any tan coming off on your dress and all of that. But I think that's a good amount of time to kind of.
Yeah. I always think it's just such a safe bet if it's something you do regularly anyway, and it's a brand and a tan that you know and that you've, you know, done for sort of big events and you found your rhythm. Like, it's nothing to be scared of at that point.
I totally agree with that. It's not a time to be trialing brand new things on your skin, you know, 3 months before. But, you know, I think you do have to find what works for you. And and those were things that I definitely kind of wanted to do.
Yeah. So, yeah. I have a great tip as well that a few pros have told me about not getting your fake tan on your wedding dress. Clearly, don't leave on the guide colour. That's sort of, you know, par for the course. But using talcum powder, a light layer on any areas where that naturally sort of have a bit of sweat, or where your dress is, there's naturally some sort of friction between your skin and your dress. And that apparently just staves off any kind of transfer of your tan.
That's so clever. I think that's such a good tip. Honestly, people are always really nervous about that coming off, and I think that's an excellent tip.
And then let's dive into your wedding day. So give me your wedding day in a nutshell, a day in the life from sort of the morning and the getting ready stage, which I always think is such a sort of delight and a huge part of the day, through to clocking off.
So we were so lucky with the weather. It was like, and I know you were really lucky with the weather on your wedding as well. Like, it is complete luck. And like, we had that sort of heatwave weekend in August. You know, the thing about the wilderness venue is it is quite outdoorsy and it's really magical. It's got like this amazing lake, and the vibe was just so good from the get-go. And so when I woke up on Saturday morning, I said to Hugo, you've got to leave because the hair and makeup person's coming. He's like, it's 8 a.m. I was like, yeah, that's quite late. And then my sister and my mum came to the room, and they also had their hair and makeup with me. I actually didn't have any bridesmaids. I just had my sister as my maid of honour, and then I had my best guy friend as my man of honour. And I really loved that. I think personally I would have found it really overwhelming to get ready with like 7 or 8 of my best girlfriends. Even though I also have done that for other people, and it is such a special moment, I just think it's very personal to your own, like how you're going to feel basically. And I think I would have felt quite anxious. So then we opened some champagne. I had half a glass because again, I just didn't want to like overdo anything. And then my dad came and sort of collected me from the house I was getting ready in. And then we went to the ceremony site, and we'd chosen this woodland area in Wilderness, which is like a 10-minute drive from the area we had our reception and everything in. And it was amazing. I mean, again, so lucky with the weather. It's sort of this cathedral like place with the trees, because they're so sort of tall, and it was a really magical feeling. And it felt very, I suppose, like spiritual. Like, it felt just like a really lovely place, being really close to like nature when you're doing it outdoors. I think it was really special. And then I had an amazing singer from ALR Music, which is actually my brother's company. They did all the music and entertainment for us. And we had Kyra, who basically sung like one of my favorite songs, Down the Aisle. And it was so emotional, but it was amazing seeing everyone's face and everyone like smiling at you. And I think also I'd been to weddings before where people have been like, can people not use their phones or take pictures as the bride's walking down the aisle? And I always thought, why is that a rule? Like let people take photos. Actually, it was so nice. People looking, like you looking at your closest friends rather than looking at a phone screen. I think when we left and we walked off, everyone took pictures and the confetti went and everything. And that was absolutely fine. But I think you do feel quite nervous that initial walk. And I think it is really nice being able to kind of lock eyes with your nearest and dearest rather than wondering like if they're taking a good photo of you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And then we had a lovely ceremony in the woods, and then we walked back down. So we had this sort of like 10-minute journey between the ceremony and the reception, and we'd organised these like vintage buses to take everyone back in. And it was the perfect time for then, Ben, the photographer, was like, let's do your family photos in the woods. And so we didn't, I think we really didn't want to miss any of drinks reception, taking photos. So we were like, this is a perfect time because everyone's getting on buses and they're getting back, and we'll just have like 10, 15 minutes in the woodland area with our family and some pictures with us. And then we jumped in this mini moke, which is like, you know, like a sort of convert, it kind of looks like a golf car actually, like a golf buggy, but it was like this like really fun like convertible kind of car buggy thing. And I'd actually seen someone on Pinterest getting one after their wedding, and I was like, I love like a wedding exit, and like I love your picture of you in the car. Like, I just love it. I think it's such a fun moment to kind of have. So we did that in this moke. I had underestimated driving 10 minutes in a convertible with the hair.
Oh my goodness.
I was honestly like, oh my god, I'm so windswept. But it was like such a fun, lovely moment. So I would definitely, if you're someone who likes kind of doing that fun exit, like that was really, really fun. And then we went into the reception when we got back to the area, and we did like a champagne tower, which was really fun. I definitely think that having like key moments mapped, I literally love that. I think having like those key moments mapped out make really fun photo moments as well. So, you know, I'd said to Ben before, we're going to do a champagne tower here, we're going to exit in this car here, we're going to cut the cake when we come into the marquee, you know, then you've basically got like this amazing set of photographs afterwards where you're doing different things. It's not just you getting ready, or because realistically, even the getting ready part, which is so lovely, as you say, you're not going to frame a picture of you by your, well, you might, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? The picture that you're framing.
Yes.
Picture that you're framing is like the one of you and your partner having like sharing like a fun, magical moment. Anyway, then we had the reception area. We had the legends from ALR Music, who were like a Cuban band performing. It just felt like we were in the Mediterranean somewhere or abroad somewhere. It was so hot. It was lovely. We'd kind of like done, as you said, like all the furniture outside was all handpicked, and we worked with people to really create like a certain like aesthetic, which was that sort of destination but in the UK countryside, and I just really wanted it to feel quite timeless, I think. And then we had the reception for sort of 2 hours, which I think is like plenty of time. I think anything more than that is a lot, and people obviously are overexcited and they do drink a lot, and so you kind of do need to give people a bit of food. So then we went down to our marquee, which was like a kind of like a vintage style, like a sail kind of tent, and because it was warm we were able to have the sides up, which just, it meant that, you know, we felt like covered but we felt like we were kind of indoor outdoor. And that was a great company called Sail and Peg. They were amazing, so helpful, so responsive, and they brought it all to life. It felt so effortless. And then we came into the marquee, which I was actually so nervous about that moment, you know, when they say like welcome for the first time.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like, people come in like dancing, and I'm like, oh, I can't dance. So
that's true. Yeah, you've got, there's a certain amount of sass involved, isn't there?
There is. And we really couldn't decide about this song for at the beginning, because I was like, it's got to be something fun and uplifting that everyone knows. And we were actually in the car sort of 6 months before, and we were like just going through our playlist, and then Hugo put on Robbie Williams' Rock DJ. And we were like jumping around in the car having fun. And I was like, but no, we can't actually come into this song. Anyway, we did it. It was the best vibe. Everyone was like literally like swinging their napkins around. And it was like, I definitely would say my advice would be like, choose a song like that that isn't like taking yourself too seriously if you're going to come into kind of like an entrance moment, but that everyone knows, and so everyone's sort of like clapping along with you and singing along. And
that's quite a multi-generational song as well, isn't it? That's kind of brings everyone together. It's a real leveler.
Yeah. What song did you come into? Did you do like an entrance like that?
Yes, that was the one that Ollie was allowed to choose.
he
obviously had input, but I think I was like, okay, you can have full sort of autonomy over this one. And it was, is it called I'm Feeling Good? The one that kind of dips, but it was the Muse version, and it and it, I'm not going to sing it, but no, it was when
I,
they're
I,
kind
I
of,
won't either.
And I can't describe music very well. I can't tell you whether it's a bass that comes in or whatever, but something dropped and then it goes do-doom, do-doom, and it's quite rocky, that version. Yeah. So that was great.
I love that. Really fun. I think it's fun to have like those kind of moments. And then we came into that and then we cut the cake just before we sat down because it was the pudding that we were going to eat. So I was like, well, we need to cut it so that our amazing caterers can take it away and serve it up. And again, like we used a company called Dog and Squash for all the food, and they were so hands-on on the day with like the actual logistics of everything, as well as doing all the delicious food. And I think for things to go smoothly, you really do need those people who really know what they're doing is definitely what I would say.
Yeah, and I think that's the element that makes you feel like a guest at your own wedding, that you're being hosted, otherwise you're managing it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. I loved the dinner. I just like, I absolutely love speeches at weddings.
Me
some
too.
People really don't, some people just don't love it, and
it's
I
my favorite
love
part.
It's my favorite part. I just absolutely love hearing what, you know, the father of the bride or the groom or the best man have to say. I love it. And we did like a speech in between a course. So like when we sat down, my dad did a speech, then we had our starters, then Hugo did a speech, we had our pudding, and then the best men. I did feel a bit sorry for the best men that they had to wait all that time.
They just not eat anything.
Honestly, I think all of them and all of them, two of them and Hugo were so relieved afterwards because they were like, right, now I can have a drink kind of thing. But I just absolutely loved the speeches. The dinner was really so lovely. It's, you're trying to sort of take everything in whilst enjoying it, and it's funny, like your face begins to hurt from sort of smiling so much, and like
you're like that Barbie at the end of Toy Story.
yeah honestly, it's like the next day I was like, my face hurts. And then after the dinner, what do? We went into this area in the Chapel Barn estate, which is the bit that we had, and then Alex, my brother from ALR Music, we had the party band there, which was called Beat, and they are amazing, and everyone just sort of danced the night away.
And it still must feel sort of so close at hand. How do you feel when you look back on it and back through your photos?
I feel really happy, and like I feel that it all went well, and it all, you know, I think lots of different type of people that get married, and I think if you are someone who is a bit of an organizer and really like loves hosting, loves events, but also, you know, I was quite into the detail about, you know, all the little touches and all of those things, and it was a lot of organization. So I think after it's done, when it went really well and everyone had a great time and we had a great time and it felt really magical to us, it feels lovely. It feels really lovely.
Did you have a planner, or was it the venue planner that pulled sort of it all together with your suppliers, or did you do it?
I did it.
Oh my goodness, Georgie. How?
I didn't have a planner, and I think in hindsight, like I think if you do want a planner, get one. Like they are worth their weight in gold. You know, and I think that I just really thought that, you know, I am a natural organizer, and I just thought, you know, I know exactly what I wanted. And I think also it depends on the things that are really important to you. So for example, like I really wanted the flowers to obviously look lovely, like as every bride and couple do, but it wasn't a massive, massive thing for me in terms of, I literally had two phone conversations with the florist. She does loads of weddings at Wilderness. She completely got what I was thinking. And she just said, like, this is the vibe I'd go for. And if your budget's this is how I think you can maximize it. And I was like, great, let's do it. Whereas I think there were other things that I really, you know, like all the wedding favors that I did all through Gigi and Olive. And I just wanted like all the touches to be perfect. Like I did a lot of the stationery, and all of that was really important to me. But I think I did kind of get down the halfway through the planning, and I was like, oh wait, hang on, I think that I've have bitten off quite a lot. And when you do those weddings where people stay on site, you're actually not hosting people for a day, you're hosting them for 2 days, or, you know, you've got an additional event. And that's when I went to Doggett and Squash, our caterers, and I just said, and Claire, who's one of the owners, who's amazing, she's a great friend of Hugo's and now a great friend of mine as well. And she was wonderful. She basically said that, you know, they do loads of planning themselves, and, you know, if I wanted to kind of get them a bit more on board. And so I definitely like lent on them hugely, and she was just absolutely amazing at helping. There were so many things that I actually hadn't thought of. And I think logistically, I think if you're someone who loves parties and events and stuff, you have like the vision in your head, but you're not 100% sure how you're going to do like the logistics of things. And she was just really brought us back down to earth as well by being like, guys, if you want to have the dinner there, like there's not a kitchen for us to cook, so you're going to have to pay for a kitchen there. She's like, why would we do that? No, like, let's put the marquee there. And I think those sorts of things, that's why it's so important to work with wedding suppliers who are really, they're professionals, they know exactly what they're doing. And as you said, then you do feel like on the day you can sit back and have a nice time, and you're not stressing about the thing that you thought you planned that isn't going right, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I'd say as well, I didn't have a planner per se, but our venue was so involved and assigned us a coordinator who was just incredible, who very much, and as you said, a lot of the suppliers we were using worked at that venue a lot, so they were always in contact with that coordinator, so that I felt like I had a planner, even though I hadn't kind of, I was just super lucky with the venue. But all credit to you, I am full of admiration that you managed to do that.
No, the thing is, I would also say, like, it really depends on where you are getting married, because, you know, if you're getting married at home at your parents or something like that, it's different as well, because you've got people that know the venue, know where you're living. You know, when you go to a venue who do these weddings week in, week out, like Middleton Lodge, where you got married, or Wilderness, where I got married, you do have the people that work there that really do know what they're doing. So even if I say, oh, I didn't have like a direct planner, like I had amazing people that were doing, you know, that were being so helpful on the day and stuff. So I think you do want that, again, like those people who just kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And where did you go on honeymoon? What happened next?
We did a road trip in California. We literally went like the day after, got on a plane, flew to LAX, and then we did like a 3-week road trip up the coast. We did like Santa Barbara, Big Sur, we went to Napa. It was absolutely incredible. I would so recommend, you know, if you love food, wine, the coastline, it was just heaven. And everyone was so nice to us out there. You know, I love how Americans, like, they always make you feel so welcome, and they just sort of were rooting for us. But when we told people we were there on our honeymoon, they were like, this is great. Like, yeah, we love it. So it was so nice. We had the best time.
Sounds like the trip of a lifetime. And then if you had a friend, and maybe you do, who is jumping into planning their own wedding, what top tip would you give them?
I have so many, but I think that, don't worry, it can feel overwhelming. The best thing that I would do is to get as organized as you want, as you feel. I think at the beginning of wedding planning, it's really important to get that date and venue locked in so that you can then start like looking at the, you know, other suppliers that you need to book. There's a lot of weddings going on and people do get booked up really far in advance. So if you have a particular vision or venue or photographer, or you know that this is the supplier you want to work with, I'd reach out to them, get their availability, get that date locked in. And then I would also say, just personally, it's really important to communicate with your partner, like what you'd like them to do. Because I think often if you're the person planning, you can sort of take it all on yourself, but maybe you're not communicating in the way that you do actually want a bit of help. And I think that's also really important, like people aren't mind readers, so if there's something that your other half can do to help with the logistics or the catering or whatever it is, I definitely think be open and communicate that, because it can be a stressful moment, but it should be a moment that you're enjoying. So I think communication is key.
Such a good tip. And finally, listeners' questions section. Another thing that you did spectacularly well, your hen do. How do you go about organising the perfect hen do? And talk us through yours.
I had so much fun. We went to Barcelona. We did 3 days in Barcelona, which is just a great destination for a hen, because you've got the city, you've got the beach. We actually went over Sonar Festival weekend. We didn't actually go to a Sonar event, but it was just like the vibe of the city was so great. And there was such a great crowd there. Again, I think you know, whoever's kind of organizing your hen, like your maid of honor or your best friend, I think be clear with them at the beginning of like what you'd ideally like to do, so that they're not, again, they're not mind readers. Like, what's your expectation of it and how do you kind of see it playing out? I definitely think that you do need to be mindful of people's budgets. I think often people are, groups of friends are getting married around the same time, and people can be incurring quite a lot of costs over the summer if they're doing hens, weddings, abroad stuff. And so I would always try and do something that people have been clear that they're up for doing, rather than like pushing in a direction where you might get then like half people dropping out and then the sort of feeling that people don't want to celebrate you, which I'm sure is absolutely not true. But I think, you know, everyone does have their own stuff going on. So I think you've got to be clear about your expectation, but then also realistic in what the budget is. And I think choosing a destination like Barcelona, where it's, there are so many great flight options, there's so much accommodation options, you can have like tapas, it's not a really, really expensive destination. And I think that was really something that everyone seemed really on board with doing, and we were about 12 people in total, which also felt like a really nice amount of people. I think when you have those really, really large groups, it can also feel quite overwhelming, and because you have a lot of different opinions with the plans and stuff. But I was just very organized again. I was like, here's ideally what I'd love to do. And then my sister and my best guy friend organized all these amazing like things along the weekend. I had lots of surprises. I had one of my best friends who I didn't think could come, she turned up and surprised me, which was so lovely. And then I organized like all these kind of hen favors through Gigi and Olive to give everyone, because I just wanted to kind of say like, thank you so much for coming with me. And I think like, even if you're not going to do like little gifts as a bride, even just like buying like the first round of drinks or whatever, or you know, a shot for everyone, I think is such a great thing to kind of like thank the people who have made an effort to come and celebrate with you. And it just like sets the weekend off in such a nice tone if you organize something extra special for the friends that have made the effort for you. Basically, I'd say it's a really nice thing to consider.
That's a really good point. Talk us through what was in the goodie bags. They looked beautiful.
Thank you so much. So I had like the wicker baskets with everyone's names on them. I thought that would be like a really good keepsake as well. And that was perfect. Everyone then wore them. Like, we had a boat day and everyone took them on there. Then I had hangover kits for everyone. Very popular item on Gigi and Olive. We did some Aveda like miniatures, which my mum kindly gave to me, which again, like if you're going for a couple of nights, it's quite nice to have those little beauty things. And then we did pajamas through Gigi and Olive, but like really nice white linen ones that I knew people would wear again and again. And then I embroidered their names on them, which everyone seemed to love. And then there were a few other things, but I can't quite remember now. I think also like another thing that's like a really sweet touch is like putting together like a really nice itinerary to get people really excited. And that's like a really cost effective way of kind of giving people stuff in advance, but to get everyone like excited for the weekend. I think
I would also say on those Aveda minis, Aveda products are so gorgeous on a hangover. It's, you get the aromatherapy element and it just revives you to such a degree.
I completely agree. They've got that like rollable thing for like migraines.
Yes.
That's got like a minty, oh my god, that's amazing.
So
I was
good.
Honestly like, how do I get this into my head? Because day drinking on a boat
in the sun
and then coming back and drinking more in the sun, I was like, I will ingest anything to make me feel better.
We've all been there. Oh, thank you so much, Georgie. It was an absolute pleasure to get all the granular details of your big day and your hen, and there's some stellar tips in there. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Words on a Wedding. If you like the episode, please subscribe if you haven't already, and follow at Words on a Wedding on Instagram, where you'll find guest wedding photos and much, much more. Have a great week.